You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We back, and we black, 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 and we black Bree Mine. What's going on, everybody? It's Drew Shade, and we are here. Get ready to hit your mark, and we are going off book right now. My name is Drew Shade. This is
Donye Love.
And Princess Amber Iman.
Man, I am so glad.
We are back.
Oh, my God.
Ain't this crazy?
Sunday.
No, for real. Ain't this crazy?
It's crazy.
So just a couple weeks ago, I went to Donye's reading.
Tell the story. Come on now.
Let the children know.
Mm-hmm. I went to Donye's reading. Mm-hmm. A wonderful, wonderful play.
My God.
At New Dramatists.
Mm-hmm. My God. Mm-hmm. What was it called?
Fireflies.
My God.
Yes.
Fireflies.
It's a part of your
trilogy.
Yes. Ooh.
Trilogy of queer love through pivotal moments in Black history.
Queer love.
That was a
through
lot of
pivotal
big
moments
yes.
of Black history.
My God.
So there are so many different unique stories mm-hmm. in this particular trilogy mm-hmm. throughout time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're having your off-Broadway debut from one of those plays.
Look at the first play in the trilogy, Sugar in Our Womb. And Theater Club. We actually saw rehearsal on Thursday.
Listen,
It's going down, y'all.
I know.
It's going down.
Donye, yeah. I am so excited. Like,
proud.
I can't even. But we'll get to that.
Come on. Because we just got so much to talk about.
We got
so much to talk about. Like, we can't contain it all.
Whoa.
So, I went to your reading 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and it was the first time that I really even got out of the house mm-hmm. over mm-hmm. the past 8-9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was so fulfilling for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, we went to go
get something to eat
mm-hmm. with your parents. Mm-hmm. Your parents were in town.
Yeah, they came through and they loved them some True.
We'll talk about that too.
Yeah.
But we went to have dinner, and on our way there, Amber
Iman, goddess emerged.
Yes.
Literally.
In the middle of the street looking like chocolate and blessings.
Yes. That's the best way to
hair
describe.
Blowing in the wind, face beat,
right.
body snatch.
Uh-huh.
It was
this
hard for me
true.
To even look.
I this know.
It was too glorious.
It was a light.
There was a light. There was a halo.
Halo. Keep going.
We ran into Amber Iman on the street.
Yes.
How?
It was destined.
Ordained.
Preordained.
Right. Was that for us?
I
and
know.
So it was just like, I looked in the mouth and I said, I miss y'all.
I know. We and had a we moment need. In the
we
middle
did
of the
have
street.
A, we did have a real moment.
And
can
a photo
we talk
shoot.
About how popping the pictures were?
We had a like mini photo shoot, y'all, in the
like,
street.
Yes,
like this
we were
one?
Glowing.
Yes.
I like that one.
So that's how we knew.
Time.
It just
time.
Had to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So we got together and we're back here and I'm just so happy that the stars aligned.
Yes.
And it allowed us for... You know, allowed us to be here and allowed us
moment.
To do this.
Yeah.
Again. And so much has happened since the last time we were here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2 years ago, we recorded our last episode, which was Tony's.
Mm-hmm.
And
we
talked about the 2016
oh
Tony nominations.
Wow.
Yes.
Look at that.
Yes. 2 years ago.
That's crazy.
And that was a really
this
wonderful
is,
year.
Ooh.
It was.
But so much has happened since then. And I just mm-hmm. really want to talk about what has happened for you all.
Okay.
Because we have been... on a journey.
A by
journey.
God, we
apart.
Have.
But now we're back together, and I just want to know what has happened. Let's start with come you, Donye. Donye, what has happened for you?
Child, life.
Mm-hmm. In
life
2 years. So from
2 years.
Just think about it. From 2016
to now.
June 2016
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to now, what has happened?
So I remember, and this is so crazy, I remember the last episode, I left, and I was going to an interview for a fellowship that I was up for at the Lark called the New Voices Van Leer.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just felt in my spirit that was meant for me, that I'm going to get it.
Mm.
And I ended up getting it, and literally everything shifted and changed, like, drastically. So I was at the Lark for a year with this fellowship. I started working on, like I was talking about, this play, this trilogy that explores queer love during pivotal moments in Black history. And so I was just, like, putting all of my energy and all of my spirit into that. And I ended up getting an off-Broadway debut at Manhattan Theater Club. With the first play in the trilogy, Sugar in Our Wounds, that explores queer love during slavery. And so just...
So we've... No, y'all. No, no. You can't just say during slavery and just, like, try to walk on past that.
Walk on by.
But no, like, no, like, seriously, I remember when I was writing it, I literally thought to myself, this play will not see a light of day. This will probably be a play that will stay in my drawer. Mm. Won't nobody be here for it. It's probably doing too much. Like, it gagged me at the type of love and reception that it started to receive from people.
No, it's still gagging me, like, over a year, 2 years later, because this play is so phenomenal. And so dynamic and so rich.
Use the words.
Come like, on. It's rich.
Vernacular?
I receive it.
Lexicon? Diaspora? I'm just using all the big words I know. That don't even make sense.
Diaspora.
Black people
Come on,
love.
Diaspora.
Some black people love to say a diaspora. I don't know what the hell that word means.
It's full of melanin.
Yes.
You know, that's our favorite word because
Praise
we love
God.
Melanin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's literally, this play will change your life. It works something up in me.
Why?
When I first saw it, especially being a Black gay man and seeing yourself represented in a time where you just really thought that you were non-existent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's...
Like, literally, that was and is the hope with this play and with the trilogy, for us to see ourselves reflected throughout history. And I'll say, when I was working on the play and the trilogy, I was like, oh, wow, I have this certain level of, like, confidence now, because I know who I am, I know who I came from, and just that's the hope. So, like, what you're talking about right now is what I hope a lot of people leave
but
with.
What made you think of that type of story?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what made you think that that was okay, or that that was even a possibility? Like, because the way that you've written this piece is so full of so many different dynamics, colorism, wisdom as far as from a olden branch of the family, and because, you know, it's a carved family, because it's not a real, you know,
yeah, like this
blood family.
It's a
makeshift family.
Exactly.
So having that wisdom, that matriarch type of person, and then also having, you know, the colorism coming to play, and then this gay relationship, and the masculine, and the slightly feminine, and those elements that what made you think this was even possible?
So I'll keep it 100% real. I remember this had to have been like maybe 8 years ago. I read Terrell Alvin McCraney's Marcus or the Secret of Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a passage where Shanta, Marcus's best friend, who's the main character, was really probing him to figure out his like sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And she started to talk about slavery and what the masses would do to the male slaves who were intimate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, y'all, my mind was blown.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I got so upset. And so I write when I feel emotions in the extreme, right? And so I got super duper upset, and I was like, I have to write this story, because I never even fathomed me existing in this time period.
Yeah.
So I want to say literally maybe 7 years went by, I didn't write a thing at all.
Wow.
So the play was just writing itself in my head, and it got to a point where these characters were like, Danye, I'm tired of being inside this head of yours.
Mm-hmm. Get out.
Me out. And the first character that started to talk was a tree. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Mm.
And the whole 7 years beforehand, it was no tree. It was just these people talking to each other. And then a tree started to talk, and I just started to lean in, like, I don't know where this is going, but let's see what happens.
But 7 years, though, Danye, like...
Because that's the number of completion.
Come on,
run a lap.
Hey, hallelujah.
Yes,
listen,
indeed.
But that means
it's
time.
Sunday, y'all.
Literally.
Y'all know I just came from church.
Come on now.
I sang at church this morning.
And brunch.
So.
Come on. We can't forget.
Listen, Sunday and brunch go together.
Hand in hand.
And church and brunch go together.
Come on now.
My pastor already knew. He said, let me get you out of here so you can go ahead and get the brunch.
Sometimes you can't have one without the other.
Listen.
Go hand in hand.
You can't.
Drew will testify.
I'm telling you.
No, I can't do it.
You really cannot.
I can't do it.
It's a brunch day.
I believe you.
My God.
You know,
I see it all in your eyes. I believe.
Shut up.
Listen, it's fine because I'm here.
Hey, like now. Sealy, my God.
Come on,
Deaconess Sealy.
You know where I was going. You know,
come on.
I'm gonna take a deep breath.
But Donya, it was 7 years that that it took you to get this story out. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. People, a lot of times, people think that, you know, plays just come overnight, or that in a year or two you can be off Broadway, but these stories develop with like, inside your
had
soul.
Had to cultivate, like had to exist in a space.
Had
and
to
for
incubate.
Me to be prepared,
Come
right?
On.
For me to be prepared to be able to tell this story. For me to be the most proper, pure vessel possible to tell this story. Mm. And so here's the gag of it all, right? Mm-hmm. So like I said, Terrell, that passage from Marcus or The Secret of Sweet is what really like inspired, made me say, I can tell this story. Mm. 2 weeks from now, him and I will be at the Schomburg, up on stage.
On the 16th.
Just talking about being Black queer playwrights. Mm. Look at God.
Ain't that amazing?
Come
That's
on
phenomenal.
Now. But yeah, and just this like this full circle moment that I'm not taking for granted like, in the least bit.
So he also interviewed you for the Larks blog as well. So you guys have had a connection for a little while. So this particular conversation is more than a full circle moment. It is a career moment also, as well as a personal completion.
Like just to be up there and in my full self and to be able to tell why I write these stories with an individual who inspired me so like radically to tell the stories that I tell.
I love that. It's so dope.
Yeah, we can't take these moments for granted.
You also got married within the time of last week.
He put a ring on it.
Like, let's not forget that, right?
Come through. Hey, Brandon. What's up?
Hey, babe.
How you be, boo? How you be?
You got married.
Life has been going off in these past 2 years. I got married to an amazing man who just, like, he helps me. He inspires me. He makes me feel like I can do and I should be doing what it is that I'm doing right now.
I love that.
So,
So he also is a photographer.
He's a photographer. So all of my headshots that y'all see.
Right.
And I I just had a birthday, y'all, and I was butt-ass naked on the stool.
Saw it.
That was Brandon making my skin look like a star
glowing,
at midnight.
Right.
Come on now. But yeah, so all of my headshots are Brandon and he's amazing.
Yeah.
He's amazing in so many ways as an artist, as a human being.
And you also have a couple of more projects coming up. Can you talk about anything else that you have besides the off-Broadway debut that's coming?
So I have some other things right now that are in the works. I can't say too much, but it just it is a reminder to just stay true to exactly who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you exist and operate out of that space, the blessings will come.
Okay.
And just remind yourself to be in the purpose and align yourself with that purpose.
Amen. Well, so, I can't wait till we talk about more.
Because
you know I want to...
Broadway Black is going to know it first.
Listen.
Hey, please believe it.
Well, just
please
know that I know it now.
Hey, now.
Just know that I know it now.
We just waiting on a yes.
All I'm saying... Well, it's already a yes.
Shut up.
We just waiting on a be able to reveal.
Exactly.
We waiting on a goal.
Come on.
Right.
Now,
so
and
we
it will be heard
right now.
Here first.
I like that.
Right, so I can't wait. It gotta be.
Amber
Iman.
She's here, boys.
She is here,
She's
y'all.
Here.
Yes.
Looking fabulous.
Thank you.
Glowing.
Thank you.
How it should be.
You're welcome.
Like, if y'all didn't know, Amber Iman is like the real life Dina Jones, like the second act.
Oh my God.
The top of the second act, Dina Jones. Like, she's come back from Paris and France.
Thank you.
Very much.
Paris and France. I just said Paris and France.
But I was going to go with it.
That was brunch. I blamed it on brunch. I was going to keep stepping. He said
I was going to say nothing but a word. Nothing but a word.
New York and New York.
Leave me
Live
alone.
Your life.
Exactly what you meant.
Leave me alone. But, yes.
But she has come back from somewhere.
Yes.
Right. So,
come on now.
Like, what's going
on?
Okay, what's good?
If we go back to June of 2016.
Right.
That was right before Broadway for Black Lives Matter.
Oh, my God.
That was the first thing we did in August. That was August 1st.
Oh, my God.
Time flying.
Oh, my
crazy.
So, yes,
Broadway for Black Lives Matter was a beast.
Listen, that we planned in 2 weeks.
The line was around the corner.
A beast.
Wrapped around.
Listen, y'all.
Yes. 1,600 people.
Listen, I still can't believe we actually did that thing.
Y'all did it.
My God.
Y'all did it.
Look at
God. For free.
Listen.
Y'all, it was free.
Let me tell y'all, just the moment of that I will just never forget is...
The multitude.
There were so many moments. The moment that sticks out to me the most, because to me, the theme of Broadway for Black Lives Matter is like, we did not know what we were doing. We didn't have a budget. Mm. We didn't have a dime nor a nickel nor a dollar.
Right.
I had never planned a surprise party for my cat. I hadn't planned nothing in my life. I didn't know nothing. And people just started believing in us. When I tell you, I talked to the women at Broadway Serves about my idea. They happened to talk to the president over at Broadway Cares, and I got a message, a voice message mm-hmm. from that man saying, I just heard about what you were doing, and I want to give you a check for $10,000. And I said, what?
Yes.
I mean, just word of
Excuse
mouth.
Excuse me?
Before we had even planned a thing.
Excuse me?
Do you hear what I'm saying to you? And then my favorite moment is we were trying to find a headliner. We were like, we need somebody. I was like, y'all, NDIRE came to Shuffle Along, and she gave me her cell phone number. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I've known her off and on, but like, what if I could get her to like maybe just mm-hmm. maybe come to Broadway mm-hmm. for Black Lives Matter? It took me an hour to compose the text because I kept deleting it and rewriting it.
That's how it be.
I text her, y'all. I'm texting NDIRE, who has been the love of my life, my favorite person, wow. my favorite vocalist, since I was 2 years old, like mm-hmm. since forever. I just wanted her to know who I was. And the fact that I text her to ask her to come perform for free at my event, I said, Lord, she ain't gonna say yes. When I tell y'all, she texted me back 10 minutes later saying, I actually just wrote a song about Alton Sterling dying in the streets, and it's called Breathe, and I want to debut it at your event, and I want to bring BET and Centric with me.
Yeah.
I said, what?
Yeah.
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 When I tell you, people just poured into us. Let us see Carl Billy amazing. Porter looking for tickets. I said, she can't have a ticket, but she can sing.
I know, that's girl, right.
Hello.
Look, this is how it's going to go.
When she got up on that stage and gave life abundantly, I said, Listen. Look at God, mm-hmm. y'all. It was a magical day. I'm so proud of all the work everybody there. Mm-hmm. In 2 weeks, we pulled that thing off. My God.
Everybody was there.
It was a beautiful day. It really was a beautiful day. That was August of 2016. I was good and unemployed. Shuffle Along had just closed.
Mm-hmm. Shuffle Along.
And just shuffled off of Broadway. And I was good and unemployed. And I believe a week after Broadway for Black Lives Matter, I had my first audition for a small off-Broadway musical called Hamilton, an American musical.
Just throw that out there real quick.
A small little thing. And December 4th, I booked Hamilton American Musical. Mm-hmm. And I went on a year-long First National tour to California. I spent 5 months in San Francisco, 5 months in Los Angeles, playing the dual roles of Peggy Schuyler and Mariah Reynolds, giving life in yellow and
Listen,
red.
Very much. I still need to hear it.
Yes.
I got you. I got you.
Please. Please and thank you.
Don't tell nobody.
Because, like, I already know mm-hmm. the effervescence of
your
voice.
Oh, my God.
Voice.
Say it. Come on, diaspora. I gave you a diaspora of vocals. Effervescence, honey butter, chocolate, and cinnamon.
All the melanin in
All
the voice.
All the diaspora.
Okay. How, like, back in, like, middle school or high school, like, Evanescence, like, that group.
Yeah.
So, like, really just, like... do something to your heart. Yes. I know that you were like,
my God, thank you.
That from
thank
my
you
heart.
For speaking life into me.
Yes, because I need to hear. I didn't get to see it, and I'm so
you.
Pissed.
I think I have a recording of the last one, and you know I live.
Oh, come on,
come through.
Don't tell nobody.
I'm doing a charade, shimmy shake.
So that's where I have been the last year.
Feeling his beat.
I've been on the road. While I was there, I wrote a one woman show that I performed in Los Angeles, and just a couple weeks ago in New York. It was fabulous and wonderful.
It really was.
I have just written my first short film that I'm going to Tyler Perry write. It's going to be written, directed.
You hearing it here live.
You go to Tyler Perry.
You hearing it here live.
I've written it. I'm going to direct it, executive produce it, and star in it.
Yes.
Come through.
Let me be in it too. Where's my part at?
Okay, let me go rewrite. I'll do it.
Wait, did you say this is a short or full?
It's a short.
Okay.
It's my first venture into filmmaking. Yes. I'm very excited. And then, you know, there's other news that I can't talk about. Yeah, but you know,
but just know
she's
going down.
She's coming.
Just know it's going down.
Just know she'll be back where she belongs very soon.
I know that's right.
And I
know that's
wait.
Right.
Thanks, everyone.
Bitch, I gag. I gag.
So Drew knows everything. He knows all the tea.
Don't I always? But,
yes, you know.
Come Don't through. Always?
He has a diaspora of knowledge. And when
that's what this episode is going to be called.
The diaspora.
He has all the knowledge.
Yes, I do.
And when I get the go, you will hear it here first.
Yes.
That's where I've been.
Ooh, man.
Drew, now, Drew, you have to tell us where you have been.
Really?
Yes,
yeah.
You do.
Okay, I've been dreading this.
I know, but you got to give your testimony to the people.
Yeah.
It hasn't been as exciting as everyone else.
That's all right.
Over the past couple of months, we'll go back. Oh, 2016, Broadway for Black Lives Matter was great.
Yes.
We had a wonderful time. I celebrated my 29th birthday then.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And everything was great. I ended up still working Broadway Black and doing that for a couple of months. And then we had the Great Comet fiasco, where Broadway Black was blamed for closing Great Comet.
That was a diaspora of foolishness.
Lord, well, you know, we just gone reveal all the tea.
Come on, spill it. Lipton.
You got to.
You know, at the end of the day, I really try to speak for a community of people.
Uh-huh.
And it's difficult for me because I am a person. I'm a human being.
Yes.
And that is a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so people come to me with information. They come to me when they feel as though, you know, things are not in their corner. And I get a lot of news of people wanting me to donate money to their cause or stand up for them. So, you know, we've gotten this reputation as the NAACP of Broadway.
Gotcha.
Which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not ashamed of that. However, this particular instance did something to me. Oak, who was a part of Hamilton, who replaced Josh Groban in Great Comet, came to me and we had a conversation about, you know, the things that were going on. And he revealed to me that he was being replaced by Mandy. And he said, you know, this is what's happening. Do with it what you will. And I released the information the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of caught people off guard. And it just became a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. And so I got a lot of comments, a lot of people that were attacking us and saying that we didn't frame it in the right direction. But in my mind, all we did was say that this is what's happening. It's odd to us, the way that it looks and the dynamics look, that the way that Black actors are being supported on Broadway.
So basically, y'all just told the truth.
We told the truth.
That's what it boils down to.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
I shed what I shed.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so we told the truth about that, but a lot of people felt as though, oh, no, Great Comet can't be racist, or they can't have racist actions, or there's no way that they can do that because they've cast all these Black people in this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm confused because when do, you know, racial bias or, you know, any type of implicit bias stop because you cast Black people?
Well,
when does that stop?
My God.
Like, people still have to be cast and still go through situations when they're in a show, when they're in rehearsals. I was just reading something today where someone was talking about the reason why they're running to be a part of the Actors Equity.
Yes.
To be on the
council.
Board. Yeah, the council. They were running because they were on a tour and something happened to them where they were racially profiled at their hotel, not even on their job.
Mm-hmm.
But the next day they lost their job because of the situation.
Wow.
And so they were trying to be a part of the council because of that situation. And so you can be hired and still have issues because of and because of your race.
You can be hired only to fill a diversity quota, and then people resent the fact that they had to
that
hire
you're there,
you.
Right.
Just so people wouldn't be mad because they got an all-white cast.
Right.
But I'm asleep. Keep talking.
Right,
keep talking.
But this is Great Comet we're talking about.
Yes.
So people thought that because there was such a dynamic and such a plethora of race, people that were in this show, that there was no way that there could be any type of implicit bias towards a person that has come into this show. And I saw it. I saw what could have happened. I wasn't in the room, but I spoke to several people that were a part of that. And so I felt comfortable stating what we stated.
Mm.
And so we got a lot of backlash from that. And we didn't release any type of rebuttal or any type of other statement beyond that. And a lot of information came out after that.
Did you get death threats?
Oh, I got death threats. I got a lot of things.
Can you
just hurtful
for
things.
For telling the truth.
It was just really weird to me. I had never experienced anything like that. And coming from the Midwest
and
being a theater lover and somebody that loves performance and loves to see Black people on stage, which is the reason why I created Broadway Black, it was very odd to me to see people not be able to process this particular situation and blame Broadway Black for just telling the truth. And that hurt me very, very deeply. And so I watched everything that happened with Mandy, you know, because Mandy's son also called me. Mandy's son had a conversation with him about what was happening because he was unclear about what was going on. And, you know, we sent over some information and said this is what the problem is, and it's not about. And a lot of people were saying it was because it was a white actor replacing a black actor. And to me, that was never the thought. It was just the respect issue. It was a how are you treating, because he's a black man and he's coming into this show. So you already started his run late and then you cut his run short. And then this will be an excuse as to why we can't have a black couple or a black ingenue on stage as a dynamic. And it'll be like, this doesn't sell. We already tried this. This doesn't sell. So that will be an excuse. And that was my worry. And it was never about him being a white actor. It was just about the respect issue.
Right.
And so a lot of people didn't get that. And that was disheartening for me. And so that took a toll on me. And after that was done, I took a break. I just stepped away. I stepped away from it, and I just started to do a lot of educational programming where I would go around the country and go to different performing arts high schools and colleges and speak about what it means to be in the business, and also bring in teaching artists to do workshops and a series of workshops about working in the business. So mock auditions and acting classes and singing classes, and bring in technical people, costume designers and scenic designers and things of that nature. So I did that for a time, and then I tried to come back to Broadway Black, and we released the information about Earl Hyman, who was the father of Bill Cosby on The Cosby Show. He was a dynamic Shakespearean classical actor that gave a lot to the Broadway and off-Broadway stage, a lot to Shakespeare in the Park. He was just a phenomenal actor, and I remember looking up to him as a child and seeing his face and thinking he looked like me. And so this was somebody that really influenced me. And also because that he was in a nursing home that was for actors, I got the information about him, you know, passing away. And because that happened, I said, you know, I'll wait 24 hours from the time that I got the information, because I wanted to respect the family. And the family was doing it internally. They were talking about it internally, and they weren't really dealing with the press. So I said, I will give 24 hours. And I just kept looking to see if anybody had released that information. Just kept looking like, oh, I know somebody else is going to release it. We're not going to get the exclusive. And I don't want an exclusive of somebody's death. But I am still in a business. And so I just kept thinking like, you know, oh, it's fine, you know, I'm going to give this time to the family, and that's what I said that I would do. When we released the information, still nobody had said anything about it. Nobody had even, nobody knew. And that was odd to me. But we went forward with our piece, and it became viral once again. And black people were blaming me and saying that I was killing one of our greats, and were sending me all sorts of messages that we, that black people don't deserve publications, and this is why, you know, black people aren't real journalists.
Wait, I'm so confused.
Oh yeah, it was really bad. Like, they really said that I was a liar. They called me a liar
Because they didn't believe,
because they didn't believe that he had passed, and there were no other news sources saying it, and because there were no, and Broadway Black was the only one, to them we weren't credible. So because we weren't credible to them, that we were liars. And so that was just really odd to me. That's didn't so expect sad. That at the time that I was trying to resurface and come back to doing what it is that I've been doing. And so that just took a toll on me. First, it was the work that, you know, white people are telling me that, oh, we closed Great Comet, and I'm doing work that's not even for them. That's not even for your eyes. And you're critiquing me. And so I have to take this critique, and you're sending me all these messages and death threats and all these things, and this is work that is not even for you. And then I take a break, and then I come back, and there are people that are, this work is for, and they're calling me a liar. And so it was just, why am I doing this? Why am I sacrificing myself for this? Because even before that, I took a break and I did First Noel, just for my mental, because I'm I'm a performer at heart. That's what I moved to New York City to be. I moved to New York City to be an actor. And God just said, I have something totally different for you. So I've been trying to work in that way. But I took a break and did First Noel. I came back, and that Great Comet thing happened. Then the Earl Hyman thing happened, and I just was down. I just wasn't in a good place. And I just had to fall off for a good 8-9 months. I had to go and get some therapy. I had to go in and get some help. I even popped up at the Tony Awards that next year in 2017 and tried to do some more work. I had blonde hair at that time. But I was not sane. I was not there. I was not fully there. And so I'm just now getting to a place when I ran into you all, when I came out, I'm just now getting to a place where I can work again, where I can be whole again, where I can actually have fun doing what it is that I do. I like Broadway Black. I want to continue to like it. But once I'm not liking it, I can't continue on. There's no way. And so I say all that to say that that's where I've been the past couple of months, but now I'm looking for people to be me. So I'll be holding audition in the next couple of weeks to find people that want to be a part of this mission. Not that not people that want to be famous or be seen, but that really want to propel the mission of highlighting Black people, because we do not get the press that we deserve. Come on. Do not get the acknowledgement that we deserve on the stage, no matter how talented we are. And I was just saying this when I was watching the Tony nominations. We have to be A-list celebrities. Black people have to be A-list celebrities to get the same press that C-list Broadway stars get.
Come on.
To be on CBS, to be on New York One, to be highlighted in the way that C-list white celebrities or white Broadway stars are. You have to be an A-list celebrity. You have to be Denzel. You have to be Forest Whitaker. You have to be, you know, Angela Bassett. And that's insane to me. That's insane. And so I'm trying to create a platform, and I'm not trying, I'm doing.
Come on, speak it.
Yeah, I'm speaking it. I'm not trying, I'm doing. I'm doing and I'm creating, and I have created a platform that highlights Black people in a way that we should be highlighted, and I want to continue to do that on a pedestal that is elevated, that showcases our beauty, that showcases our light.
That reflects Broadway Black.
That reflects Broadway Black.
Exactly. And it.
A lot of people, you know, think about Black theater. They think about the Chitlin Circuit. And I also want to talk about that, too, because I went to go see Set It Off Live.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I went to go see Set It Off Live, y'all, for real.
You did. You actually did it.
For real.
You did.
And I took my friends.
My God.
Like, me and my
friends.
Did
you go to brunch before you went? You should have probably went to brunch.
I did have a couple of drinks.
So you went to brunch.
Actually, I did go to brunch.
Look at God.
No, I really did go to brunch. Okay. And we took a cab from brunch. No, no, think about it. Me and Jerrica took a cab from brunch to Brooklyn.
Set it off.
My God. From Harlem to Brooklyn, we took a cab.
Love
and we
it.
Were like
Lit.
In that thing.
Yes.
But I took my friends, me and Crystal and Kid Fury. Oh, no, Kid Fury didn't go. Crystal and Dustin and Asante and Fran, like, we just went in there and we were like, what is going to happen?
Lord,
so you had to get lit up
just in case.
To set it off.
Yes.
We had to get right. Like, because we knew. We already knew.
Set it off. Y'all felt your spirit.
So
we
got off on the
No, listen, we
set
got to
off.
The show, y'all.
Set it off.
We got to the show and we, like, went in and, like, the show had already started. Like, once we were in the lobby,
it was
hundreds of people in the lobby.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Hundreds
Wait,
of people
I don't know
in the
why
lobby.
I feel my spirit. Like, I'm so ready to laugh. Like, something about to happen. I'm just going to start getting so hard.
Hundreds of people in the lobby, and the show has started. Like, started.
So, like, it was no, like, lights blinking.
I don't know if it was. It probably was. But people were still coming in.
And,
like,
and they didn't wait for the people to get
seated.
No. Okay. But,
and even after we got seated, there were people that were still coming in and getting seated, like, at least 30 minutes into the time
Lord
that we got
Black
there. So at least
45 minutes into the show.
I love us.
For real.
It was fine.
For real. Okay.
Nobody cared.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
No, nobody was annoyed. Nobody cared.
Okay, good.
Like, the show kept going.
Okay.
It was fine. Throughout the entire thing, people had their phones. They were recording.
Yes.
Like, there was no problem recording the show.
They was eating.
No problem talking. No problem eating.
Listen.
Nothing. Like, nothing was wrong. You could do
whatever
no
you wanted.
Literally. Whatever.
This was the time for you to be you.
Listen.
Okay?
There were
to get your life.
There was vapor smoke.
My God.
No, like, literally, like, you could smell, like, the vapor of weed in the air.
What is happening?
People like, probably on the phone. What you doing?
Yeah,
I didn't set it off.
No, my friend Crystal was late, and I answered the phone.
I can't.
And I did not have a problem.
Listen to what
I did not have
talking
a problem
about right
I
now.
The phone.
Can't take
and, you
it.
Know, I go to a Broadway theater at least 2 to 3 times a week.
Uh-huh.
I had no problem
Hell
saying,
God.
Hello.
Hell, you should have just FaceTimed for all that. Look.
Right. And she called me and she said, The show has started. Okay, the show has started. I'll text you. The show has started. I said, oh, it's fine.
No, it's fine. We can talk.
Like, what's up?
What you doing, girl?
What in the name, Jesus?
Like, it was a bomb.
That's my con party.
Time.
I know you had fun.
I had so much fun. The brat, like, she did, like, verses from Ladies Night.
I heard.
I can't take it.
The part where Cleo got shot was, like, hilarious.
No!
Yes, like
this I got to right.
clip. It shouldn't be hilarious.
But this
that
sounds
is
right.
My favorite part of the movie.
Listen, I got a clip when Latoya was acting.
They wanted to switch it up.
Latoya was acting when she said, "You know what's the motherfucking procedure
when you got a gun to your head?"
Yeah, uh-huh. Like she went all the way in. She was in the like she was acting.
Okay, uh-huh. She was giving
like
beats.
She was giving
a diaspora of beats.
Listen, okay, I'm gonna show you the video because I got
know
it.
You are.
I got
I'm
it.
I'm sure you do.
Like it was a good black-ass time.
Help me, Lord. Like, help me.
So that's what, and I thought about it, like, after it was like, I grew up on the Chitlin Circuit, mm-hmm, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
We went to go see Ain't No Man Like the One I Got.
I can't. Please stop.
And Woman Thou Art Loose. Mm-hmm. And, you, I mean, we went to go see, like,
mm-hmm, talk
these
about
are the
it.
Plays that changed my life.
I hear no lies.
Yes. And a lot of people, like, even, I just had a conversation with Jordan E. Cooper. Jordan
yes.
Cooper,
mm-hmm,
he's a playwright.
He's amazing.
Amazing playwright. He's emerging right now. He's about to graduate from NYU.
Mm-hmm. Yes, God.
Like, next week, he's about to graduate.
Yeah.
And
the new school.
The new school. Oh, mm-hmm, it's not NYU. I'm sorry. The new school.
The new school.
So he's graduating from the new school. Like next week,
mm-hmm,
and he also had a play at the public theater, mm-hmm, in the
Ain't No More,
mm-hmm, and it got rave reviews. But he was one of the teaching artists that I did on the Broadway week along with Amber.
Yes, girl.
We did a Broadway week at a school in Connecticut, and he was one of the teaching artists. And we sat down and had lunch afterwards, and he was saying to me, "I would have never even been introduced to the theater,
mm-hmm,
had it not been for those type of plays."
Mm.
That's
he
real.
Said, Madea's
so
Family
real.
Reunion was,
yeah,
was his introduction. Like, he will always thank Tyler Perry because,
yeah,
that was his
that's
introduction
so
to the theater.
That's real.
And that's us.
We can't, yeah, be mad at that.
We cannot be mad at that because also that's... I love those plays.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? Like, and we've sort of been conditioned because we're in the business,
yeah,
to be ashamed
we're
of that.
Sometimes folks get into a certain space in a certain place, start to get a little snobby.
Right. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
start,
yeah,
calling,
yeah,
themselves. No, I'm not doing that.
Right, start
I'm not going there.
Right, they start smelling themselves.
Yes.
And I'm like,
you smell
no.
funky.
Right, but
help.
Then I also started thinking about the Chitlin Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we talking about a form of entertainment that has been created by black people and calling it the shithole?
I know, mm-hmm, I know.
Of
I hear
theater.
What you're saying.
Like, literally, a chitlin is the anus, the intestines.
My God.
He said, if you need to know, I'm going to break it down.
I'm going to give you the full.
Seriously.
Diaspora.
I really, like, I mean, I have smoked a blunt or two, but I have really thought about
help
this.
Me, Lord.
That's why I love
help
like,
me.
No, seriously,
that's why
I
love
thought about this. Like, why are we calling
I
it
a blunt or two, but that don't mean nothing about what I'm saying.
The shithole.
Mm-hmm.
The shithole.
I know.
A theater. The Chitlin Circus. So it's a never ending shithole.
You was in that blunt.
Like, when I tell you, I really thought about this, Amber. Like, I was pissed.
Yeah, I can
tell.
I was tell.
Pissed
I see.
Off.
I can tell.
I can see
because
now.
That's
I don't
not who we
that.
Are.
No.
Because we are a people that creates wonderful creations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, we have wonderful ideas.
Yeah.
And the Chitlin Circuit, because we didn't have the knowledge or the technical terms,
uh-huh,
mm-hmm,
or the technical
resources.
The resources.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to.
Right.
Yeah.
The resources.
We pulled what we
the
had
resources.
To tell the stories we wanted to tell.
Because it's still absolute brilliance.
Yeah,
it is.
That, but we didn't have the resources.
Mm-hmm.
That's so
a
just
huge
because
difference.
It doesn't have the technique, we got to stop calling it the Chitlin Circuit. I don't like
you.
It. We got to come up with a new name for it. And I don't
I
know what it is.
Find out where it came from.
What's
I
your call?
Actually, the Chitlin Circuit was. It wasn't really theater.
Uh-huh.
It was like jazz. It was a circuit that black people could perform,
mm-hmm,
that they could, the houses they knew that they could go to and not
right.
have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, that was a Chitlin circuit. It was jazz.
Why did we
and like,
call it Chitlin?
You know, vaudeville,
you know?
That
yeah.
type of thing. So
why did we choose that word?
It just.
I'm going to look it up.
I mean, because we was country. We
yeah.
was black. So
well,
it could have
been
like,
the cornbread circuit or the collard green circuit.
I live for them
or sweet potato pie
them
circuit.
Sound
maybe,
good.
Maybe it didn't have the ring to it like
maybe.
Chitlin did.
Chitlin
right, because
is
they
a
weren't
good
ashamed
word.
Of Chitlins. And we're not ashamed of Chitlins, but I'm just like now, because everything is so socially conscious, that I don't want to be referencing black people as the shithole of theater.
If you say the damn shithole.
Because that's what that's it what is. And I want y'all to realize that we calling black people shitholes.
Help God. Help on the Sunday. Help.
So what can we, you said, you know,
we got to come
now,
up with a new
but
name.
But like, what
for
will we come up with? So how about by the end of this episode, we'll have a name.
Maybe not the end of this episode. Maybe we can ask the people.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
What can we call the former Chitlin Circuit, the Black People Theater, you know, that
like the Gypsy Robe. We got a new name for the Gypsy Robe.
What is the new name for the Gypsy Robe?
It's coming. They don't have it. But we know that we're getting rid of Gypsy Robe.
Right.
So if we want to get rid of Chitlin Circuit.
And white people are mad.
Child.
They're mad about the Gypsy Robe.
Child. That's another.
Like,
we moving
is it
on?
That deep?
Brian, child. We need a new
name.
Is
it that deep, though?
It's never that deep.
Ever.
To them, it is.
I'm writing on our Instagram Live. We need a new name for the Chitterling Circuit.
The Chitterling Circuit.
What will it be?
I don't know what it'll be. But
we need something.
We do need something.
These
so
answers.
That, like, really, that touched me
mm-hmm.
in a way because I saw Set It Off Live, and we had amazing time.
Yeah.
We had an amazing time. And they put their heart on that stage.
Yes.
And I can't be mad at that.
You can't.
And I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want, I don't know. I just want to know how we can, you know, rectify that. Rectify.
Oh, Lord. Not rectify.
You did that. You did that.
Both of y'all. Go outside.
Anyway.
So we have caught up on where we've been, what we've been doing, what we've been producing.
We're doing a lot.
So we got a lot to talk about
hot
still.
Hot topics.
There are some hot topics.
So y'all, we just like that? Y'all like the hot pockets?
I lived for it.
Hot topics.
She is cracking herself up, y'all.
You got some good sound bites, and we're gonna make them happen.
I know.
Right. Listen, I can't wait till we record this.
Oh, you know it's gonna be bomb.
Listen, can we say that who's gonna be making our?
Is it official? Did you get a yes?
It is official. Yes.
Shut up. Look at guy.
But I don't know if I'm gonna say.
Okay, yeah. Let's just wait.
Okay, we'll wait. We'll have him on the show.
Okay.
Yo, so somebody like on really so much.
Somebody yes. like really important is making our theme song for the
mm-hmm.
show,
yes,
and I'm like really, really excited.
We finna have a song.
But.
A
anyway.
Real song.
Yeah.
A popping song.
A popping song. And Amber gonna be singing on it.
So y'all know it's gonna be live.
But so this past week the Tony nominations happened.
Yes, mm-hmm. they did. They
Tony
happened.
Season.
Yes, it is.
I popped up at the right time. Like mm-hmm. I love Tony season. So mm-hmm. there's a lot that's happened in this past year.
Yes, God.
Once on this island.
Yes, God.
Have you seen Once on this Island?
Yes, I have.
I haven't yet,
I
will be next week.
What you think, Amber? You going next week? Mm-hmm. I'm going next week, too.
I'll come through.
What day you going?
I have no idea yet, so we can figure it out.
Okay, what? Who you going with?
I was going to go by myself, okay, so well, that mean we going to go.
Okay, you're right. Right.
Brother Nate.
Right, okay. Okay.
Boom.
Boom. I love what
that's
just
all
happened.
Had to say.
I love what just happened.
Right. But.
Come on.
I loved it. I'm not even going to lie. I went in, I mean, Once on This Island is one of those musicals that I could probably sing the whole thing by myself from mm-hmm. top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I played Little T-Moon when I was a little kid. I played Air Zuli a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I love it. I know I have typed myself out. I will never be regular size T-Moon, and that's okay. I made my peace with the Lord. I know I'm too big and too grown, but I love that show with all of my might
it's
and
so
power.
Good.
And I went in, I wasn't skeptical. I was just like, oh Lord, what's going to happen? And I was pleasantly surprised. I loved it. There's some elements. I mean, I don't want to ruin it for the show, but there was, for people who haven't seen the show, but there was literally elements of it. I said, well, wait a minute.
What's happening?
Did y'all just blow my weave back? Literally? My edges, I didn't gel both sides. Y'all, I mean, they are doing some things in that theater that are,
I can't wait.
It's, first of all, it's in the round. They use every inch of that theater and that space.
Yeah.
I mean, there are just some things that you got to get to New York to Circle in the Square and see, because I know it's gonna tour. I don't know if all of those elements will be able to translate. Like, you can't just put a theater in a circle if it's not in a circle.
Right.
So I don't know if it'll be in the round when it tours and if all of those elements will be able to be fully translated into all these regional theaters. But when I tell you, it was a magical, magical, wonderful night in the theater. I had a blast.
Ooh,
so I can't wait for you boys to see
moments.
It and then come back and tell me what you think.
I can't wait either.
I
because I haven't been seeing theater.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't bring myself to go.
Yes.
And I've been wanting to go. And I was going to buy tickets last week. And I text Alex and I was like, Alex, I'm coming today. But I couldn't get the tickets that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was pissed. I wanted to be on the stage. And so like the Tony nominations happened and, I don't. Okay, well, let's talk about the Tony nominee.
Come at.
Because I want to acknowledge the people nominated.
Yes.
I want to talk about people that have been nominated because I do want to address who I feel is should have been nominated, but I want to talk about people that have been nominated. So, Hailey Kilgore.
Yes. Hashtag young Hailey.
Like, she's amazing.
Can I just say that, like, I love the fact that this year we have both Hailey and LaShawn's nominated
in the same category. Yes, LaShawn's for Donna.
Yes.
And Hailey for Once on This Island, the role that LaShawn's originated.
That's so dope.
Which is really
that's
phenomenal.
So dope.
And
the fact that Leah is in Once on This Island and the fact that they moved LaShawn's from categories because she was up against the circle is so
ridiculous.
Crazy this year.
Yeah.
But it's awesome.
So just Once on This Island is nominated for some amazing things. George C. Wolfe is nominated for Iceman Cometh for
and
directing
Denzel.
That show. Denzel for that show was
We went.
Me and Amber went to opening night of Iceman Cometh.
Y'all, the
with
show
Denzel.
Is 3 hours and 45 minutes three intermissions.
Three intermissions.
Y'all.
I had a photo shoot during one
shut
of
your
the acts.
Whole, shut up. Like, I had to run and get a snack between one of them. Y'all, I was tipping to the store to get a snack.
It was good.
It was great.
Like, I was pleasantly surprised.
I had never read Iceman Cometh. Heard about it forever because it's a classic, but had never gotten to experience it in
and
its fullness.
And you experienced all 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Listen, I felt like at the end, the cash should clap for us.
On
we
opening
made it.
Night, right.
Listen. And then me and Drew went to that good old after party.
Listen, with that seafood.
Y'all, they had all you
we
could eat.
We were at Del Monaco's downtown.
I was so mad. I was so mad looking at the Instagram stories.
When I tell you it was lobster, crab, and shrimp as far as I could
steak
see.
Steak and roast beef.
Listen.
Can y'all make me a plate?
Filet, like everything you could.
Wait, we was in the theater and I said, after this 3 hours and 45, I better see a whole prime rib, ribeye cow.
And sure enough.
When we got there, when I tell you it was
but
a whole cow.
But hold on.
Cow.
What time did it start? If it's
4:30.
4:30.
Look, we know what we about to put y'all through. So we gonna have this opening
when
before 30.
When we walked out, it was 8:30. I said, "Jesus Christ, it's the sun has gone."
Oh my gosh!
Listen,
and it wasn't even like any like press stuff that would normally take up a lot of the time. There was
no
carpet
it was the show.
There was no
announcement before the show. It was just 4 hours.
Ago. It was just like
that's deep.
And here's the show. Yeah,
one of the intermissions was only 5 minutes. It was a stretch break. You couldn't pee. Like, it was just so you could stretch your legs and get your toes wiggling.
Like, hold on, wait.
Shoes.
Did they say?
Oh, yes.
So make sure you don't go.
It says it's 2 10-minute breaks.
This is not the bathroom
break. It said, this one is a swift. She's swift, honey.
Right, this is just
stretch.
A change.
Do a yoga pose.
We know what y'all want to do.
Stretch your legs.
Nope.
You ain't peeing on this one.
Not at all.
Not
rebuke it.
Listen.
You better stay your ass in the seat.
Okay.
Right, exactly.
And stretch them legs from your seat.
Right. So that happened. We had a great time. So George C. Wolfe and Denzel are nominated for that.
Mm-hmm.
Condola Rashad.
Yes, four-time Tony nominee.
This is her fourth Tony nomination.
Girl,
I really feel
one.
Like she's going to win
just
it.
Let me borrow
and
one
do you
of
realize if she wins this award, she is the her mother won the first one for this award, for the first black woman to win a leading actress
I
in a play
know
award.
That.
And so she wins this one, it will be following in her mother's footsteps.
That's
it will also
awesome.
Be her first Tony. Her mother's this was her mother's first Tony as well. So it's just like
the stars are
all
running.
These full
special
moments. Like, I just love that. So Condola's nominated for St. Joan, which is also Manhattan Theater Club.
Come through.
Yeah.
Come through.
And she is best leading actress in a play for St. Joan.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick something that super touched my heart. It was a video of opening night for St. Joan. And they were just like interviewing like people who were there on the carpet. And Debbie Allen, her aunt, was just talking about just how excited she is and the family is. And y'all literally... She was saying that I cannot wait to see that curtain open and seeing Condola there. And she started breaking down crying. It moved me so much.
I was right there.
Much.
So
that was
sweet.
So beautiful because like me, I'm thinking, oh, like these people are like royalty. They've done so much. They continue to do so much. And it just reminded me that this is a dynamic ass family.
Yeah.
It's filled with so much love. It was
really
such
is.
A beautiful moment
That's
to see
beautiful.
That.
Let's also congratulate Lauren Ridoff.
Yes,
that's Children of Lesser God.
Yep. She is nominated for Best Actress in a Leading Role for a Play as well. congratulate her. That's amazing. Kenny Leon directs
Kenny
that
Leon,
show.
Yes, mm-hmm. And then we go over to Lobby Hero. Where we got Brian Tyree Henry nominated for a Tony. Is that his first Tony nomination?
Okay, but he was also in. A lot of people don't know that he also originated the role
in Book of Mormon.
Right,
Mormon.
The general. Mormon. He was the general in the Book of
people
Mormon.
People don't know. They be sleeping on it.
Right, and so he started in the theater. And
yes,
then
people don't know that. They be like, oh, he
Come
can
on.
Sing.
Yeah,
yes,
Brian's actually
like that's so funny to me that like with TV and film,
oh,
like that's when
God.
Everybody knows it's somebody.
When Brandon Victor Dixon was on Jesus Christ Superstar, they was like, ooh, the one from Power. I was like,
no.
People didn't know Audra could sing when she was on what was the practice show?
Private Practice.
They was like, oh, that's
so
the lady from Private
crazy.
Practice. No, that's
no,
the queen of Broadway.
Right.
She's
Hello?
The queen.
Six times.
Come on
six.
Now.
Tony nominated. Tony the winner.
If you need to know.
Y'all gotta start Googling y'all favorites because y'all gonna find out some things y'all don't know.
Well, Brian's actually the person that one of the people that convinced me to move to New York and like
what?
Told me when I had mm-hmm. was visiting, we were all at a get together and he was just like, along with a couple of other people were just telling me like, yeah, you need to get here. This is how you do it. Move in the wintertime when nobody's like, you know, looking for an apartment,
that's
like
real.
Find something good.
He dropped the gym with that
Lord
one.
Lord knows
yeah.
I moved
okay.
in January in the cold.
So like that next year I moved. Mm-hmm. So he was like one of the people that really encouraged me. So I'm really proud of him. Mm. Really excited. Like when I seen him at the press event for Lobby, he was like, Drew, what's up? Because I hadn't seen him in so long.
Through.
So it was really good to catch
come
up
through.
With him. Also, we have, don't give me the lion.
Don't lie. We got you.
Tell the truth, shame the devil.
Don't give me the lion. So we said LaShawn's. We also said Ariana DeBose.
Both of them for Summer.
Donna. Yep. Mm-hmm. Joshua Henry as well for
Carousel.
I'm so excited for him.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't his first nomination, but I really feel like he's going to get this one.
Speaking of existence.
He did that.
Really, yeah, he really, really.
I'm seeing it on Tuesday.
He did that, like, in it the entire time.
Oh, friend, ain't nobody special. It's not a date. I mean, you know I'm single and ready to mingle.
Single and ready to mingle. That's what the bio say.
Oh, no, I'm not mingling.
Okay.
She just enjoying the play. That's what that gives.
I hate both of them.
I'm just enjoying this music.
We also need this, Noma. From the Harry Potter play.
Oh, yes.
Have y'all seen that?
Okay, I don't know nothing about Harry Potter.
Neither do I, but
well,
I
that
heard that production is
right.
spectacular.
And it's two of them, right?
Yeah, it's two parts.
It's two parts.
So, why
and
are they
long,
doing
too.
This to us,
And
y'all?
Also, Angels in America is
it's
8 hours.
Why
yes.
are they doing this like, to us?
And you got
to
go on, like, different days. Like, you got to buy a ticket for Tuesday and Friday or something.
That's so
oh, really?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they don't do two shows every day. So if you only go on Thursday, you're not going
to
get
you. You're
going to
be ass on
oh,
out.
No. Listen, oh, no, man.
I got to read a book first. Or
right.
But, like, okay. I'm excited to see this Harry Potter because I've heard it's, like, the things that they are doing on stage, you're like,
did you
what?
See the video of her saying what it means to her to be on Broadway?
And she was getting
no.
emotional.
Oh, my gosh. She was just saying, like, when they asked her.
Mm-hmm.
She just broke down. Like, she was like, I'm really just not thinking about it. I'm on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that was a big deal for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's a big deal for a lot of us, you know, to be able to make that mark and be on Broadway or be attached to a Broadway show and, like, really, and then be nominated for a Tony on top of that, which
mm-hmm.
is one of the highest honors
mm-hmm.
Right now.
That's amazing.
Because there will be another higher honor coming soon.
Come on, higher honor.
I'm just saying, Broadway Black is working.
Oh, right. I don't know why I thought you meant she was
get
going
it.
To the kingdom, like a higher honor, like she was going to get her crown. I was so confused. I was like.
But the thing is, I was like, come on, higher honor. Like you ready for her to go on the glory. I was like, wait, what? You can wait. How to go on home to glory.
Like, I thought she was like, she might get this Tony, but in heaven, she going to get a crown.
Oh, my goodness.
You felt that in your spirit. Even if you ain't know what it meant, you still felt it in your spirit.
I was like, she don't get her wings and her crown. Ooh. Oh, my God.
Ooh.
That's a word.
Oh, God.
Just in case
oh,
you don't get your Tony, just... you going to get your crown.
Ooh, that
took me in. Woo.
That is
my bad. I'm sorry. I didn't know what you was talking about.
Oh, God. I can't with you.
Oh.
But yes.
You too
Come
churchy
on.
For your own good?
I can. that sent you in.
I got that real.
Yes, yes. Yes, God.
My God.
Oh, my God. We also need to talk about all of the songwriters on SpongeBob. So there's
Listen, T.I. and Deaconess Yolanda Adams.
Yolanda Adams,
John Legend. Come through.
There are a lot of, you know, black songwriters on the SpongeBob that are nominated for Tonys.
I'm fine
now. So
right now.
Congratulations to them. Like, this is the first
Come
for
on
them,
through.
You know? I mean, they're really, people are really trying to get the EGOTs right now.
Yes.
Like, they're really trying to.
Really real.
For real. They're
that's
really trying
really
to get the
real.
EGOTs. I read it. Actually, the last time we recorded, We was in an elevator with John Legend.
Yes, we were.
The last time we had,
yes, we were.
We didn't record that, but we were supposed to record, but we had a meeting that day.
Lord have mercy.
But we were in an elevator with John Legend. I was like, John, when you coming to Broadway? And he was like, oh, I don't know. You know, his old modest self. Oh, I don't know, you know.
No, he knows.
Right now, he's working on trying to get Turn Me Loose to Broadway, the off-Broadway show that they had with Joe Borden, which was really good, great. It's about the life of Dick Gregory. And that was off-Broadway, and Dick Gregory was alive. I remember seeing that and seeing Dick Gregory. And I have pictures of Dick Gregory and John Legend and Ben Vereen together and, you know, all those people. So it was just, like, really great. And now Dick Gregory has passed. Mm-hmm. That would be even more of a tribute to have that show on Broadway. And Joe Morton is amazing in that show. But that's so crazy that we ran into John in the elevator.
Literally. We were, like, coming here the last time. Then he was, like, walking right on by us. And then leaving. There he is. Come on, universe.
Like, I should have left with y'all. God,
you should have left with us.
That's all right.
Just right there in the elevator.
God's going to put it in him in my atmosphere.
But he did so good in Jesus Christ Superstar. Can we talk about that?
Oh, we forgot that. Yes.
Like, that was a big event.
Shout out to our brother, though, Brandon Victor Dixon, our Broadway brother holding us
down,
too.
Brandon Victor Dixon.
Sang his whole throat loose.
I've never seen him
first
sing
of all,
like that.
He was the bishop of the biceps and the pastor.
Yes, he was.
Every single comment I saw on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, everyone was getting their lives.
I was keeping timestamps on how long it took him to take off that jacket.
I saw you.
It took until 9:54. I still remember. They made me wait a whole hour and 54 ass minutes while he took that damn
covered.
Jacket off.
He was swaddled.
I said, take it off, sir. You know why I'm here. You know what I came for.
Give it to me. But he did that.
Listen.
John did that. You know, they optioned down a lot of them songs.
Please go outside.
They did, though.
I'm not having this with you. I'm not.
But they did.
Praise God.
And so I'm glad that they did so that he was comfortably able to execute. And Amber.
That took her out. Y'all should see her right now. She under the table.
No, but I'm excited that they did that for him because it was better for him to not be straining.
This is true. Don't have to strain. Right. You Jesus. You should
have to, right. You should be able to just, you know what I'm saying, put it on the cross.
Go outside.
Lay it down. Lay your burdens down. You shouldn't even have to do nothing. Like, the options should be down.
I hate you.
Yes.
You are on a roll.
Lay your options.
You are
down.
On a roll.
Help me, Lord.
So, yes, I'm so glad that happened. And all my friends, Michael Kilgore, Felicia
Boswell.
Yes. Like, they were
that's
nailing it.
That's such a beautiful
it.
Thing.
Yes.
And that's set.
The melody.
Like, that whole
you said that. Oh, that's set.
That set.
I thought
the
you said that's sad. I'm like,
no, our friends was in there.
No, it was far from sad. It was absolutely amazing. And I don't even like Jesus Christ Superstar.
I had never seen it, honestly.
I do not like the musical. It's not a good musical for me. Okay. I don't really care for Andrew Lloyd Webber anything.
Oh, my God. Speak your truth, sir.
No, seriously. I just, the only thing I can really get with is maybe Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and that's because it's so campy. It's so, like, cheesy that I love it.
Okay.
Phantom of the Opera, I like some of the numbers in there, but I'm not, like, a full spectacle, sit through the whole entire thing, love.
Yeah.
Andrew Lloyd Cats is not even a number for me that I can even get through. There's nothing Andrew Lloyd Webber that I'm like...
Like, ooh, I gotta see that.
Right.
Like, that does something
to
me.
Right, and so I'd be confused about people that go up for him.
Oh.
I'd really be confused. No,
I'd
tell
be
me.
Confused.
Please tell
know.
Me.
I don't know.
Neither
somebody,
do I.
Anybody?
No, I don't know his work like that, so I can't.
If you are a listener and you like Andrew Lloyd Webber and you are a black person, I need you to...
And
I need you to no, I really do. I need you to, like, sculpt it for me, you
not
know?
Sculpt.
I sort of like Phantom,
let me see it.
But I don't really like Evita.
I've never seen Phantom.
Oh, no, okay, I like Evita.
Okay.
Not the whole thing.
Wait, what parts of Evita?
The Evita parts.
Wait, shut your whole mouth.
I can't.
I like the Evita parts.
You like that one song she sang?
Right.
I can't with you.
Right.
We need
it doesn't matter what those morons think.
Well, okay, sir.
Our nation here is a feeble crew. Like, I like, you know, certain parts. Like, Patti LuPone goes in.
Oh, she did.
Like,
I'm with you.
She did.
I'm here for that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But... not the whole thing.
Please move on to the next hot topic.
Yo, Mandy. we got more. I know we got more hot topics. Oh, my God. Like, okay. Go on. Okay.
Okay.
Done.
Keep going. Uh-huh.
I keep wanting to talk about Evita because, but anyway, we'll keep moving.
Praise God.
So speaking of, we talked about all the Tony nominations for the most part. Mm-hmm. Mean Girls is leading the way with 12 Tony nominations. Once on This Island has a lot of Tony nominations.
Mm-hmm. SpongeBob has 12.
SpongeBob.
I think, too.
Yeah, SpongeBob. I'm acting like fucking...
what's her name? Catherine McPhee.
Right.
Spoon.
If she do this one more time. I said, if she do this one more time.
I said, ma'am, did you go to brunch before you went to the vaccinations? Her ass went to brunch, too. She had a diaspora of the brunch. She was up there talking about spoon. I said, lady, if you don't get your words together...
Lord have mercy.
But let's talk about who we were surprised that they didn't have.
Hashtag
say.
Justice for Kenita.
Listen, Kenita Miller.
You gonna see it once on this island
when
this week.
When we see it this week. Yeah. But Kenita does, like, I even saw
she's giving
her
you every
in,
moment and
Bella.
Listen.
Oh, my God.
That's my girl. I'm president of Kenita Miller
during
fan
the
club.
Times that I was awake during Bella, Kenita did some amazing
listen,
work.
Kenita, I saw Kenita on the behind the sneak peek of Bubbly Black Girl behind Nikki James. And when I tell you that, I said, look, y'all, look at that girl living her life, being the epitome of a Bubbly Black
listen,
Girl.
Listen.
Oh, I can't wait.
Y'all, justice
see
for Kenita.
This.
It's going to happen, Kenita. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It was Kenita and Yvette. I can't even think of her whole name right now. In Chicago.
Natasha
Yvette Williams. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Natasha Yvette Williams, Kenita Miller, and Bella were like dynamic. Yeah. And they had, like, they were grounded.
Love that.
I love them in that. Kenita in Once on This Island
is everything.
Is the talk of a lot of mm-hmm. people.
I saw hashtag justice for Kenita several times. It's
wow.
a real thing.
It's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Alex Newell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's been the talk of the town
yeah.
for months and months and months. Like, he's been on every news show. Like, he's been doing
keep going with Once on His Island. Like, Camille A. Brown,
the choreographer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The choreographer.
That's deep.
Like, I'm confused.
Child.
I am confused.
Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered.
Yes.
I don't understand it.
I mean, so there were people that we were just like, what's going on? And then also, I mean, I totally wanted to see Lily Cooper.
I know. Mm.
You know, Lily Cooper was another one
SpongeBob.
That I really wanted to see. Yeah. There were just people that I was just like, what's happening
mm-hmm.
here?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why we, and a lot of people were saying that's why we have to have our own
award
our
show.
Own award show,
mm-hmm.
Which we will be. Making happen. We'll be making that happen.
Talk about it.
So I'm excited about that. But yeah, so the Tony nominations came out. We're excited to happen, excited to see the Tony Awards on June the 10th.
June the 10th.
A Sunday, June the 10th.
Mm.
So make sure y'all ready. I can't wait to get my outfit together.
Yes,
I think I'm going to do a party.
Mm-hmm.
Come through party.
I mean, we usually do a party, but like this year, since I wasn't really active in the season, mm-hmm. I was like debating whether or not I was going to do it. But I think I'm going to do like a small, mm-hmm. intimate 20 people party,
on,
catered
people.
Dinner.
We're going to have shrimp and lobster and crabs like we hit.
Well, we could, you okay. know. I mean, the ticket prices will be higher.
That's fine.
Boom.
You know, we got that. But,
boom.
You know, we could definitely do that. I don't have an issue because I like you. To be bougie.
I don't have an
listen,
issue.
We can have brunch.
Mm-mm. Yes.
Listen,
real deal.
Hello? You know, I'm about a brunch.
Listen.
So, yeah, that could definitely work itself out. So I'm looking towards that, and we'll see what's happening over the next week or so. But, yeah, so let's also talk about...
where we finna go? I'm nervous.
What we're going now to...
Oh, Lord.
We about to go there.
Oh, Lord.
The coloreds are taking all of the jobs.
Oh, Jesus.
That wore me out.
I don't have no time for white people right now. Please, Lord.
The coloreds
that
are taking
me
all of the jobs,
all
y'all.
The way out.
They've taken all of the jobs. So it's been a big thing over the past couple of weeks. There was a post on Audition Update that people were really talking about. And this is the post. I'm going to read it. It
Please
said, don't
read
kill
it.
Me. That's the name. That's the title of the
you
post.
Because you already
started
know.
Wrong.
You already,
you
already know.
Wrong.
Right.
You might as well have said, I'm not racist, but.
Right. I know this question will spark a lot of controversy, but I need to ask. Is there anywhere that proves that, at least in documented union statistics, that there are more unemployed people of color than Caucasians?
Yes, bitch, it does. It exists.
I will never disregard the hardships people of color have and still go gone through.
You just did.
But I feel like to say people of color have less opportunities in theater may not entirely be accurate.
It's wrong, bitch.
Especially in today's climate.
You
just
lied.
Because there are more roles for white people doesn't mean more percentage of white people are working.
Ugh.
I don't know everyone in the business, but all my friends who are a person of color...
Because you got three black friends, ho!
If even at
sorry,
me.
I'm hot. To keep going.
All of my friends who are a person of color don't seem to have problems getting work. I'm honestly asking if there are statistics to prove.
Oh.
That's all.
white people.
Can I just share, like, literally where white I checked out? People. Let's go back to it.
I checked out at the first word.
What she say? She said, just because there are more roles written for white people doesn't mean more percentage of white people are working.
Please go have a
that
seat
sentence makes
in some
absolutely
oncoming
no
traffic
sense.
What
are you talking
like
about?
Girl.
You sound like dumbness.
Hello?
A in diaspora of dumbness.
The flesh.
I don't understand. I really, really don't understand.
I was like, do I have to finish reading this?
I don't get it. I'm honestly confused.
I can't. Why are y'all mad?
But this is like the same thing that happened with the Hamilton auditions where people were mad because it said specifically people of color were to audition.
Listen.
And even people are still mad and say, and like even today I saw a question on a message board on a Facebook group saying that can a white person play Hamilton? And people were like really debating, like, well, I don't see it's an issue. He's originally a white man, and this show, like, there's no specific color or race for this character, so anybody should be able to play Hamilton. But it's like, no, it was written for
one of our swings was white, and he played Hamilton. But that's
really?
A swing. Yeah, that's a swing. But it was weird because his last name is Vasquez.
So he played it.
He played that card.
But he is not.
He a white Latino.
But not a Latino.
It's
just the name.
But
yeah, I mean,
He did.
He said, "I know how I can work this.
I'm gonna change my official equity name to Vasquez."
But no, here's the thing. So that is his real last name. While we were on the tour, he did the like Ancestry&Me, 23andMe, and found out zero. He is white as hell. And what we were talking about is the rumor in his family is that his grandmother may have like lied about who she thought of her.
You better spill the tea.
So they got the last name.
So she got the last name thinking, oh, that's the one.
But it ain't. So he just passed it.
Grandma was in the street. Grandma was in the streets.
Yes.
This is my type of episode.
Listen.
This is spill it.
Listen.
Spill it.
So we have had, but he, you know, he wasn't cast to play Hamilton.
Right. He was a swing.
So we have had a white Hamilton.
That's crazy. Scandalous.
But why y'all mad? Because we got one role, like one show.
Right.
Why y'all mad? Y'all got just white tears and privilege. You just got to have everything.
It's so many.
We can't have one thing to ourselves.
Hello?
It's like the N-word. It's 19,000 words in the diaspora of words. And we said this one word y'all can't say. And y'all mad.
Y'all want it.
You got to have everything.
Listen, I'm just trying to play Bobby and Company.
Please, okay?
Like,
live your life.
Can I
be Tracy Turnblatt? Okay, I'm just saying.
No, you can't. No, you cannot.
She would be lit as hell. I sing the hell out of them songs.
Get your life.
I can't do that.
But y'all, so these are real things that we have to deal with in the industry where white people feel as though that they are so entitled to everything.
And like
anything,
they're not getting anything at all. So here's the thing, like instantly where my mind went to. So I just came out of a workshop at MTC for a new play of mine. And seven characters, just one character is white. Wouldn't you know, in terms of casting this white character, it was so hard.
Really?
It was the reason, but here's why it was so hard.
Nobody wanted to say nigger or something.
No. Because every single white person was booked.
So we had
to go through, it was so difficult because every single body was booked. And then here's the thing about privilege. One of the first people who we went to, this character in my play is in the first scene.
Okay.
And it's a workshop. So, you know, shit is going to change. Mm-hmm, it's going to be moved around. He may be in it more. He may not be in it at all.
He might get cut.
But sure enough, he read the play, that draft, and just saw he was in the first scene. He literally asked, out of a 29-hour workshop, can I be there for about 5 hours?
Wow. He said, I don't have time today.
I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
To be there because I'm not in this play
now,
a lot.
As many times as my black ass has been a token in a play that had two lines, one page,
and you did the entire time.
Listen,
that blew my mind. Like the level of privilege is out of this world.
Honey.
So to hear that, to read that, I'm like, what the fuck are you thinking? And I agree. She probably has not three, probably one
black friend. And that black friend been booked working. All year.
Exactly.
And she mad.
So look at this. All the black people, all the blacks are
what
working.
What is that even? And the thing about it is people it's just so small minded. Like if you look at Broadway right now, look at the number of black plays on Broadway. You won't find one.
Right.
Because there isn't one.
Right.
If it's not an August Wilson show, we don't mm-hmm. do plays on Broadway.
Right.
Because there's one musical Hamilton and there's a sprinkling of us in other musicals. You're like, oh my God, the black people are taking over. But we're really not.
Right. Not at all.
But we're really
think about those regional theaters.
Listen.
Think about those off-Broadway
Listen.
Theaters. Think
and
about those off-off Broadway
A Broadway
theaters.
Season is one whole year. Look at the year before it and look at what's coming next year. Mm-hmm. And you will see the shift and change. It's so swift. Y'all
really
mad because we got one show that y'all really want to be in.
Oh, but,
and you can't be in it.
But wait till they see you. They're going to be mad.
Well, stop trying to spill the tea.
Put the lifter back in the box.
But since we are on the subject of white people doing stuff they're not supposed to do.
Well, Sierra? That's what we're going to
do?
Come on. So, how you say her name? I don't even care about her name.
I don't know.
Sierra Bogus. I don't even care about
it's
her name.
It's bogus. All of it's bogus.
Okay, Sierra Bogus.
No, I don't know if that's how she pronounced it.
What we going to say
that's what
today?
Gonna
I can't.
That's what we're going to do today. Sierra Bogus decided that it was okay for her, even though she already knew that it was not okay for her, to play Maria. Was it Maria?
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. Maria.
In West Side Story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was going to do a concert version, but even though she already did a video interview with Broadway.com saying that the part that was not right for her that she played was Maria in West Side Story, mm-hmm. and she doesn't know why she got cast as that, but she did it.
Of course.
And then she came
said
back.
In the video, they asked her a bunch of questions, like, what was your favorite this? What was your favorite that? And then they said, what role should you not have played? And she said, I shouldn't have played Maria because I'm not Puerto Rican.
And so, why are you coming back?
There's a video that exists of mm-hmm. you speaking it from your mouth.
Right.
My God,
so you knew. That's the thing that got me. It wasn't that you didn't know that you felt like, oh, well, it's just a concert version. I could have given her the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it's just a concert version. I'm not doing a full stage production. I'm just singing the songs.
Mm-hmm.
If in her mind that sort of what like made sense to her, I could have got behind that and be like, okay, she just didn't know.
But
still, you said it out your mouth.
And here's the thing, and I said something about it on Facebook. I don't understand why, just because it's a concert, all the rules are off the table.
Right.
The only time you need to be singing them songs is if you are in your shower.
Come through.
Or if you decide to do an album or a CD of your favorite Broadway classics.
Come through.
If it's not your album or your shower, go outside.
Right.
Stop saying that just because a concert is still an opportunity for representation.
Right.
A concert is still an opportunity for a young Latina, a young Puerto Rican child in the audience to look up on stage and see a face that looks like hers. Stop saying that just because it's a concert that we should just close our eyes. That's foolish.
Look.
What happened?
Just Who's look
talking?
At that comment.
Antoine.
You know it's Antoine. What'd he say?
He said, because she wouldn't do a concert version of Sealy. Sit down!
Hello?
Speak truth to life. Y'all. Like,
exactly.
Stop saying that, oh, it's just a concert. Oh, it's just my ass. Stop saying this. Mm-hmm. It's still an opportunity. When people are underrepresented, it's still an opportunity for representation.
Exactly.
It's still an opportunity to tell a story. So stop with that. It's just a concert. Stop
and so now
that.
She's released. She released a statement.
Child, because somebody told
saying that she
her
was
to.
Right.
Not
exactly.
somebody.
Sorry.
But a lot about
and
you.
This is what...
So
this is what sort of confused me was that people were applauding this statement. Like, girl, no, you knew what you was doing.
Yeah,
so
okay.
This is the statement. She said, last week it was announced that I will be singing in a concert of West Side Story at Royal Albert Hall for the BBC Proms in London. Because it was a concert presentation and not the show proper, I had signed on to lend my voice to honor Leonard Bernstein in his centennial this year. With an orchestra I have loved singing with for years, following in the long list of sopranos who have all sung the score before. All these excuses, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here for it. All these excuses that you're trying to lead up to the fact that you're not doing it, like, well, this is the reason why. Like, I could have got with all of that if you had not said out of your own mouth that it was inappropriate
you
for you to do it. But anyway,
wrong.
This is also what she said. She said, after much reflection,
bitch, bye.
I've realized that if I were to do this concert, it would once again deny Latinas the opportunity to sing this score as well as deny the importance,
but
all
here's
capital,
the thing.
Of seeing themselves represented on stage.
You didn't reflect until your Twitter mentions blew the hell up.
Right.
And somebody called your somebody.
And that would be a huge mistake. Since the announcement of this concert, I have had many conversations about why this is a crucial time now more than ever to not perpetrate the miscasting of this show. I apo- Now more than... Bitch, it was never a time. When was it? Like, it was never a time.
It was, you know when the time was? The time was when that contract came across that table with that fee, ooh, with that salary. Hello. And she said, oh, I got a dress. I got time. I got time today.
Right. Mm. She wanted that check.
How do y'all not know? It's 2018. Y'all still don't know?
She said, and I apologize for not coming to this realization sooner. And as an artist, I must ask myself how I can best serve the world. And in this case, my choice is clearer than ever to step aside. And, bitch, step aside. Look, this is a cold read, but I'm processing it as I go along. But to step aside and allow an opportunity to correct a wrong that has been done for years with this show in particular.
A wrong that you just did because you
that
said
you didn't have
that,
no problem
I'm
being
sleep,
a wrong.
Y'all. I'm so sleep.
I have therefore withdrawn myself from this concert, and I look forward to continuing to be a voice for change in our community and our world.
She said continuing to be a voice as if she ever was
a voice.
Please sit down.
Like, girl, don't nobody know you?
Please.
We barely remember you from the Little Mermaid.
Barely.
Barely. Shit. I can't. I'm not giving her no more time. We on to the next.
We reclaiming our time.
So tell us,
girl.
What was your favorite show from this past season? What have you seen? I'm going to say, first off, before anybody else says it, the Schoolgirls.
Oh, I knew you was
going to
say that.
Oh, I missed it because I was gone, but it's coming back.
It's coming back.
Come through, Jocelyn.
Jocelyn Biel.
Come through, Jocelyn. She did that.
Yeah.
Like, I was literally on the edge of my seat, and, like, what was so... I had to tell her afterward, because I was at opening, mm-hmm. I had to tell her, like, literally, Jocelyn, you were able to, like, create this amazing-ass story, and it has so much humor in it. It has so much humor in it, but when it cut you, it cut you. And I was like, wow, like, literally, as a writer myself, I'm like, ooh... I see the structure and the craft, and I wish I could do that. It was breathtaking. Like, because I was laughing and laughing until I'm like, damn, this hurt.
Right. Yes.
This hurt. Why you do me like that, Jocelyn? It was fire.
Yeah.
It was fire. Yeah.
So you took mine. So what's yours?
Oh, I got one.
What's yours?
Okay, so this was not my favorite show, but this was my favorite moment. And the fact that I got to see it live just bless my soul. Mm-hmm. I got to see Aisha Jackson make her debut.
Oh, my gosh.
As Princess Anna in Frozen. I got the call. I think the show was at 7 o'clock, and she called me at 6. Mm-hmm. I had just come from the gym, y'all. I hardly had time to get a cold pop and wash my ass. When I tell you, I jumped on that train and got that ticket and sat third row and got to watch... Y'all, I mean, the tears, just screaming and crying the whole time, getting to see that little chocolate girl. And y'all, there were two chocolate princesses who were sitting on the second row. Mm-hmm. They both came dressed as Elsa. And at intermission, we were talking to their mama, and their mama said, well, who's y'all favorite princess? She said, oh, it's Princess Anna. Like, just to see them watching Aisha, who looks just like them, just these chocolate drops looking up at this. Y'all, I'm the tears, the crying.
Yes.
I made so many white people mad because the screaming that I have done at my little sis. Y'all, that was a beautiful night. It was a beautiful night. And her family had just come up here because for the opening, and they had like just gone back on Tuesday. And the fact that she made her debut like Thursday, I was like, I gotta go. I gotta represent
support,
her family.
Yeah.
I gotta take pictures and videos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it was such a beautiful moment.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, it was so beautiful. Oh,
shout out to her.
Oh, Aisha Jackson over there making white people mad, girl. Yeah. Do it.
Shout out to Jelani too, because he made a lot of white folks mad.
Oh, child. In a show that got to talk, it's no man. Y'all mad because black
because he's playing Kristoff.
Go outside.
Hashtag stay mad.
Hashtag be mad.
Be mad.
White tears.
Be mad.
Diaspora of tears.
I will drink all of the
all
white
of
tears.
All of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In my teacup.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't want to drink none of them. Bye. But I got to throw out another show, though.
Yes, what's
this
your
season.
Uh-huh.
Alicia Harris's Is God Is.
Oh, because I done missed everything.
It
I've been
was
gone.
Everything.
What was it at?
It was at Soho Rep.
Wow.
She won the 2017 Relentless Award.
Okay.
And Soho Rep scooped it up. It was literally everything. What I loved so much about the play is, so it's two young black girls, they're twins. Their father burnt their mom. So the mom is pretty, her entire body is burnt up.
You know I can't take stuff like that.
But wait.
Ooh,
and so
Jesus.
The mom's body is, and Jessica Francis Duke played Slade as the mom. So the mom's body is completely burnt up. And so the two girls, when they were younger, they tried to save the mom, so a lot of their bodies burnt up. So the dad comes back into the picture, and the mom tells the two girls, I want you to go and find your dad, and I want you to kill him. But so here's the thing that was so amazing for me about the story. So it's this spaghetti western with these two black girls going on this quote-unquote revenge story. But what was so spectacular and what I had to tell Alicia about is she literally made me unpack and check a lot of shit within myself. Because I was like, at first, these two black girls doing this spaghetti western that is meant for like white men. This is weird. This is crazy. But I'm like, oh, like why can't there be a world where a story like this could exist, where these two young black girls are doing this as wild and crazy and over the top as the story about Bella. But it was like, it literally made me check all of the shit that I had about myself in terms of what it looks like to be represented on stage and like what those stories can be.
So
That was really, really nice to say, and that was that Soho rap, and it did really, really well.
That's amazing.
It did really well.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I'm mad I missed it though.
That's amazing.
I need to read the script.
That sounds super dope. She went off. She won that award for a reason.
Come on, somebody. Well, that's what's up. Well, maybe that might be something that we use for the script of the month.
Come through.
You know, because we're gonna start doing the Broadway Black Script Club at some point. But we got to choose something to read, and we actually got to read it. So moving forward, Dominique Mauricio just went on stage this past week.
Come through.
Like, ain't that crazy?
She is such inspiration.
Yes.
She was our first guest.
She was.
On the podcast. Our very first episode.
She was.
Was Dominique Mauricio.
And I was so excited to ask her all the questions.
And you did.
All the questions. Like, can you teach me this? Can you teach me that?
Yes.
So, for Dominique Mauricio to be just the dynamic playwright that she is. She's done so many different wonderful pieces. Detroit 67, Paradise Blue is a signature right now. She was also the book writer for Ain't Too Proud to Beg, the Temptations musical. And so she's just such a dynamic playwright. She's also an actress. So for her to get to go on stage as one of the roles that she created was like, I'm so mad that I didn't get to see it because it was just such a last minute announcement that the tickets were already sold out pretty much before. And the waiting list was like long as hell.
Yes.
I would have loved to have seen her because like every time I think about her as an actress, though I didn't see it, I just hear everyone who saw her talk about her as Kame in The Mountaintop.
Oh, yeah. I know that would be awesome. Yeah.
Like everyone who saw her perform that role when Katori was originating it, but just talking about how fantastic she was as that role. And like, you could just tell that she embodied that character to
the first time I saw Dominique Mauricio, she was actually the stage direction reader. She was the narrator for a reading of Intimate Apparel by Lynn Nottage. And just the cadence of her voice made me wonder what she was like on stage.
I love it.
And I didn't know that she was a playwright at that time. That was like my very first event for Broadway Black.
That's amazing.
And I was just like, who is this woman? And so I've been following her ever since.
That's
has not disappointed ever.
And can we just real quick clock all these amazing black writers, women writers that we're talking about right
now? Oh, yeah.
Katori, Dominique, Lynn,
Jocelyn.
Alisa, Jocelyn, and Ngozi. Like,
and they all support each other.
Yes, they really do.
Yeah, like, Phoenicia, hardcore.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just makes my soul.
We're gonna put
them
on a t-shirt.
I'm here for it.
Come through.
Boom.
There we go. Merch.
Through.
That's
boom.
So
beautiful.
Right, y'all. So let's also talk about. We got any questions?
We have a million questions. Before
we get to that question, I want to go back to another our favorite show of this season. My favorite show this season.
Oh, you want to?
Is going to be Sugar in Our Wounds at MTC.
Yeah.
My show. Come through. I just had to throw that out there real quick, y'all.
That'll be my favorite show, too.
Come on now. I just had to throw it out there.
You know that brought me to tears.
Lord have mercy. Like, literally, Drew would just text me randomly. I'm still thinking about this play crying.
I was like, it literally brought me to tears. Come on.
Representation.
Yes. 12 Years of Moonlight.
Yeah. Come on.
He called it 12. I read my text.
Good night and good
12
night.
Years of Moonlight.
I hate you.
I was like, damn, maybe that's what I should have called it. 12 Years of Moonlight.
Oh my God.
What's these questions giving us?
Okay, I love, because you guys can't see what we're doing, we are live streaming this wonderful situation that's happening in the studio right now, and we've got so many great questions.
Yes, for real.
So, since I have the two of you I think this is a great question because I have the two of you here. What kinds of, this is from okay, I'm not going to try to say what your name is, but it's beautiful.
But it's beautiful. No
yes.
F. please.
What kinds of opportunities are there for black folks who love theater but don't necessarily act?
Oh.
Isn't that a great question?
There are a lot of different fellowships.
Yes.
A lot of different internships that you can work in. Mm-hmm. Broadway Black will actually have an audition coming up soon that will be an all-encompassing type of thing. So if you want to get into doing vlogging and blogging and press and red carpets and things of that nature, you can audition for Broadway Black. But there's also like directing.
Props,
and,
costumes, scenic design, lighting design, stage management, house management.
What I would do is I would recommend people find someone that works in the industry that you really, really admire.
Yes.
Follow their work.
Absolutely.
Really know who they are. Study who they are. And then maybe reach out with the email and say, hey, if you have an internship or something available. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people in theater don't think that people are even watching them.
Yes. A lot of great opportunities come because people are like, oh, no one's ever asked me that. Like, you can walk up to a scenic designer and be like, can I shadow you?
Right.
Can I come sit in the booth and watch you?
And don't be creepy.
Don't be creepy. Yes.
With it.
You know, keep it cute.
Right. But be professional.
We have not because we asked not. Shut up!
She said that.
But seriously, do exactly what Drew said. Research someone whose career you want your career to mimic.
Yeah.
And see how close you can get. You never know. A tweet could change your life.
It really can. And this is what I will always do.
Yes.
I will read a bio. Mm-hmm. And I would look to see what were the things that this playwright did.
Yes, where they studied, what they did.
Some residencies, all of these things. And I would go straight online as soon as I got
home. And apply.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, what did they win?
Love it.
Exactly.
Killing these questions. I have another one.
Get your numbers up.
Get your numbers up. That's what Dominique said.
Dominique told us.
On the first episode.
The very first episode, she said, get your numbers up. If you haven't applied, you're not in the race. You gotta be in the race.
Apply. Even if you think you will not get it.
You have no shot. Still apply.
You never know. Go for it.
I love it. I'm going to keep these questions coming.
Come on now.
This is from Culture Casanova. Hey, boo.
Ooh, I love
this is a question for Danye. What are some best ways that budding playwrights can have their works seen and or heard?
Come through. So literally what I would do, I started off by just bringing friends together and just literally having it read out loud. Like
in
kitchens, in my like, I still do this now, like in my like apartment, but like literally bringing your folks together, bringing your tribes together, and just having your people read your work.
And there are residencies like that as well. Like the National Black Theater, I know, does a reading like every Monday night or so, that if you apply, they'll get people together and they will read your work. So it's a place to perform. It's a place to, you know, elevate your work and see what it sounds like. And so get out there.
Exactly.
You just have to start applying things like that
and
as well.
Literally, but what I will say, one of the biggest things, and I can't stress it enough, is like we keep talking about literally apply.
Yes.
Because you never know. Apply. There's so many amazing fellowships and residencies out there. Just apply.
Yeah. Y'all heard it here first from Danye.
Come on.
The Love Doctor. This question is for me and also all of us. I like this one. What kind of tools do you use? And how do you practice self-care with so many white people trying you?
Listen.
That was my favorite question.
That's one.
I'm going to start. Okay.
I will give you the floor.
Here's the thing, y'all.
Because I need some time.
White people are everywhere.
Everywhere.
Day, every minute, every hour. And I love white people. I have some of my close friends. I have no problems with white people. But there are certain white people that have been put into my spirit and atmosphere. And Shondo, that the Lord, I don't know if he's testing me. I don't know if this is going to help me get extra diamonds in my crown when I get to the kingdom. I don't know why, but they keep being in my atmosphere. And what you really have to do is you have to create a place of peace around you, whether it's in your apartment, whether you have to go home and just be black as hell for as long as you can. If you got to pack pieces of watermelon in your purse that you just pull out and eat on site, whether it's you just got to have black hour, just 1 hour every day where you just allow yourself to just say black shit and be black as hell. You literally have to create safe black spaces for yourselves. You gotta have black girl brunches. You gotta have black boy joy moments. It's for real. Not just in theater. I think this is for y'all who have regular 9 to 5. You have to create intentional spaces where your blackness is celebrated, where you allow yourself to be free and black and loud and black and love your blackness. Mm-hmm. I have to do it all the time. When I was on the road with Hamilton, I mean, there were moments when I would just hang out with my black friends who was in Hamilton.
Because you got
just the black cast members where we would go and just eat chicken. We would go see black movies. We would have twerk work parties and just allow to be free.
Yeah.
In New York, I have my black girlfriends I know I can call. I have my black boyfriends, my black kids. I have moments where I have to create spaces for myself to be myself.
Right.
That's one thing I do, is intentionally creating black free spaces.
Hell yeah.
What do y'all do?
That's it.
Listen.
Go ahead.
Well, I thought that Broadway Black was my free black space.
And the devil tried it.
Oh my God. Because I have to continuously work around white people.
Yes, you do.
So like the press lines that I go to, any type of interaction I do with press people or marketing or advertising are all white people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There is not a time or a day that goes by that I cannot interact like I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a eye-opening experience, because I went into business for myself thinking that I could create a space that would be centered around black people and that's who I would work with. And that's just not the case. So you have to really, like Amber said, intentionally create spaces for yourself.
Yes.
And you also have to take breaks.
Yes.
You have to take a moment for yourself. You have to step back and not answer some of those emails. You have to step back and not go to some of those auditions sometimes for that summer stock theater rotation that you really don't want to do, but you're thinking like, oh, I need that job. Like, no, so you have to step back and not put yourself in instances and circumstances that are going to drain you.
Yes, go.
And that takes time. That takes time to learn and how to do that. So don't beat yourself up over it, is what I'll say, because it takes a time to really cultivate that space and learn how to do that for yourself in a space in a way that is healthy. That's what I'll say.
Danya, anything from you?
I agree 100%, particularly with what you were saying, Amber, just like intentionally creating these spaces. And then also, yes, create these spaces for you to exist, for you to be in. And when you are going out into the world, of course, you know that space will not always be the case.
Nope.
You still have to be your full black self.
All 100%.
And so I go back to this workshop I just did, and it's so trippy and it's so weird, but it's so real. Like, literally, this play that I wrote is probably like one of the blackest plays, just in terms of like the language and how the characters interact with each other. And so we were just all around the table reading it, and it was like a little intimate reading. So we had like two theaters there, and the majority, if not all, the people around us watching are white people. But yet and still, we were all full black self, just being exactly who we are. And it was, we aren't going to shift who we are because you're in the space. You have to adapt to us.
Yes.
And in this space. So, yes, create these intentional spaces for yourself.
Yes.
And when you are in these other spaces where you don't see yourself reflected, still push through and be your full black ass self.
Yes. And you have to, like somebody was asking me about speaking a bit more my self-care while I was on the road during Hamilton. Yeah, because that was the hardest part, is not being with your tribe and with your people. Because it's different when you're doing a show in New York. You can always step away from that show and go and hang out with your friends, hang out with your family, go to your favorite restaurants. I was in a strange land, a strange city with strange people in a strange time. And I really had to do a lot of self. Like Mondays, I would shut down completely on Mondays. I didn't see anybody else from the cast. I would do things also, not only to care for me as a black girl, but to care for me as an artist. Like on Monday, I got to stop talking. So I would go to like Barry's boot camp. I would get my workout in. I love Barry's because you don't have to speak, or like Soul Cycle. You're not talking to anybody else. You're just in your own world. I do Barry's. I go have a solo date night where I would have dinner, and then I go see a movie. All things that don't require me to speak, but also allow me to be in a space where I'm breathing. I'm free to be myself. I'm driving in my car. I'm turning my radio up. Then there'd be times when I hang out with just the other black girls in the show. Just the other, my boo things, my other chocolate boo things in the show. It's also like researching when you're in different towns. Every town I would go to, I would go in that theater, find a black person and say, where are y'all? I would find a black woman and say, where are the black hairstylists?
Right.
I would be like, how do I get to Oakland when we was in San Francisco? In LA, I said, where the black people? I found this place called The Juice Joint in LA that had the blackest open mic nights on Monday.
Yeah.
Like, I literally looked in every city. Where are the black people? Where do I need to hang out? Where can I have fun? It's intentionally looking for people who look like you, because you need that. People don't understand.
It is vital to your well-being.
In my cast, I was the only chocolate woman in the entire cast.
And people don't talk about that, because I think we talked about that too before you got cast in Hamilton, where there were no really dark-skinned people or women in the show. Like, there were a couple of dark-skinned men, but like, you know, we were praising it for its diversity, but where are the
colors.
Yeah,
and there's this spectrum of people.
And we were exactly. so blessed that we had, like, we call it the chocolate squad because it was Isaiah and Michael Awoye yeah. mm-hmm. and Joshua Henry and me. So we had a chocolate group, but yeah. I was the chocolate princess. Nobody had Come hair on, like mine. Like, if I needed edge control, couldn't nobody in that building help me? Okay? You know what I'm saying? But that's a real thing, is like not seeing faces that look like yours, and for an entire year, yeah. that was a lot on my spirit. Mm, yeah. So I was always looking for spaces that I could look and see people who look like me. Mm-hmm. It's intentional.
Yeah.
It is super intentional, but you got to do it.
Yeah. yeah. And so we got to intentionally wrap up this show.
This diaspora of knowledge. Yeah.
Come on, Segway. Trans Equator.
And y'all can intentionally listen to us every week.
Yeah.
Because we back and we black.
We black
and black.
Every week.
We back and black. Yeah. We black and back. And hey. We black. We back and black. And black and back. We black and back and black. We back. We black and Broadway black. We back. We black and Broadway black. We black. We black. We black. We back and we black and black. We back.
Do we even need him to write the song?
I don't know. We do.
Do we even need him to write the song?
We got it right now, y'all. We got it.
You know, that's why y'all keep me around.
Come through.
Thank y'all so much for listening, man. It's been an amazing, amazing first show back. I'm so excited to have my friend Danya.
I'm floating.
And where can everybody find our podcast when we post it live? Where will it be for all the people?
It'll be on iTunes.
It will be on iTunes.
On the podcast app. You can also find it on SoundCloud.
Bam.
And hopefully we might be on Tidal this time too.
So. We out there.
We gonna be with Beyonce?
We out there.
We might be.
Oh, come on, come on.
But yeah, so thank y'all so much for listening. You have hit your mark, and we have gone off book. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Danya Love.
And I'm Princess Amber Iman.
Thank y'all so much.
We out.
Peace.
Bye, y'all.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.